Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 18, ending in verse 24, where we see that we have the distinct privilege of coming to the Lord anytime, and we are given this ability by God to draw close to Him. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 18, with a message entitled, The Dispensation of Distance versus the Dispensation of Drawing Near.
Thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for just this privilege, Lord, it is to worship you and to sing, God, of your faithfulness to us. Lord, I know that you know that you can't be not faithful to us, Lord, but for us to sing it back to you, and it's like a reminder to us, God. It stirs our hearts. It encourages us. Lord, we lose hope sometimes. We get weary and discouraged. Despondency could easily, Lord, settle in, Lord, when our eyes are off of you, even for just a moment, Lord, like Peter when he was on the water with you. God, it's so easy for us to let go of you and to let go of your promises to us. But Lord, when we come back to church and we sing praises to you and we're with your people, Lord, there's something that you do within our hearts. Even though we're giving our worship to you and even though we're offering to you our adoration and blessing you because of your glory and your majesty, God, there's this gift that you give back to us of faith and encouragement. Great is your faithfulness, God. It's important for us to sing it. It's important for us to say it. It's important for us to pray it. We need it. And the repetition of it, God, it's so good for our hearts, Lord. We need these truths embedded within us, God, so that we're anchored. And so, Lord, for whoever's here this morning on the lawn or under the tent, out in the sunshine, God, whoever's in the sanctuary here streaming this message from home, God, I pray that you would now stir them. Give us all the gift of faith, Lord. Open our ears and our hearts and settle us before you. Whatever has happened this week, God, or even this month, as we close the month of July this week, God, whatever has happened up to this point, Lord, can you give us the grace we ask just to set it aside and to delight ourselves in you? Lord, these minutes that we have in your presence, gathered around your word, they're so precious. And Lord, we can't afford as your people to waste them and not put them to most use, God. So, Lord, give us a desire to learn and to lean in. And, Lord, even more so, give us a desire to live out what it is that you give to us this morning as our portion, as your body of believers. And so, Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for your presence, God. We thank you that you're in our midst. Lord, just settle us now before you, we ask, and speak to our hearts. And it's in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Good morning, everyone, wherever you are. You can greet each other, wave to each other, say hello. It's great to be back together in the house of the Lord with the Lord of the house. The house of the Lord would be no good if the Lord of the house wasn't here, amen? Or wherever you are. The Bible says if two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus says, then I'll be there in the midst. And so I'm thankful for his presence. If you're home with just your spouse or your children, the Lord is there. And if you're with your kids, you really need him to be there with you. If you're out on the lawn and there's a few believers out there with you, the Lord is there. And obviously we know that Jesus sticks closer to us than a brother. And so even if none go with you and you love the Lord, he is with you. But there's something precious about the numbers. There's something precious about the gathering of God's people. I just want to encourage you before we dig back into Hebrews chapter 12 that you get back to church if you haven't done it yet. And it's important to have the camaraderie and the community of believers. Listen, we're working endlessly. Just we didn't come to this plan and say, okay, this is perfect, let's stay here. Every week we're reevaluating, what could we do? Could we adjust? Could we change? What are the suggestions? What are the mandates? How do we comply? How do we bless the believers, but also be a witness to the unbelievers? You understand the tension, the struggle? It's a constant thing. I'm in touch with pastors all in the greater Rochester area, all the way to Philly and to California, talking to Calvary Chapel guys. I'm supposed to talk today to Pastor Joe in Philly and just continually bounce ideas off of each other and just what could we do? We need to have fellowship. We need to have community. If you're on the other side of the camera watching me and you say, well, I'm not going to come just to watch a screen. I got a family. I could do that at home. No, you can't do what you do here at home. You can't do it. Not just because the screen is huge, but because there's believers out there worshiping the Lord with you, fellowshipping, amening the message. There's something spectacular about it. And so just come back to church. It's time to come back. It's time to worship the Lord and the beauty of his holiness and to receive his word. We need to hear his word. We're in a culture, we're in a time in human history right now. Our 244th year of existence, I don't know how many history buffs here, but if you study culture and societies throughout the world for all of the Earth's existence, you don't see many nations make it past 250 years. So I'm not great at math, but 250 minus 244 leaves 6 years. And listen, no one stoned me if we get to, 251st birthday or something. I'm not over here saying, something's going to happen. And I'm just telling you this, it's an interesting fact. We're 244 years old as a nation. And you look at just civilizations and societies throughout the world, all over the world, for all of the Earth's existence. And not many make it past 250 years. So it's just interesting where we are. Don't let your hearts grow dull. Don't let your heart become indifferent, and don't forsake the assembly of the brethren, even if it looks funky in 2020, okay? The Lord is faithful. He's gracious. He's still working. Remember what he said. This is his institution, the church. So don't trash it and don't knock it. This is his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Amen? So let's turn our attention to the word this morning. I'm just an expositor. I'm just a Bible teacher. I'm not a sermony preacher guy. I just like to take it from God's word verse to verse. We pick up where we leave off. If you didn't bring a Bible, the verses will be on the screen behind me. You always want to follow along. You never want to believe a guy who's on the stage and just take his word as absolute truth. You want to study and search the scriptures and see those things to be true on your own. You want to read along. Sometimes, for me, it's so good that I think, no way, that can't be. So I have to read it. So you want to read it. You want to hear it. You want to listen to it. And you want to believe it because Jesus spoke it to your heart, not because I said it. That's important that you become men and women of conviction. Amen? Shout me down on the lawn, too. We need some cooperation. Amen? All right, we're in Hebrews chapter 12. We pick up in verse 18 this morning. The writer is speaking to Christians. So if you're here today and you say, well, I'm not a Christian, it's okay, you can still listen in, and you can understand what it is to be a Christian. And maybe you'll be more interested by the end of the service. I'm calling my message, it's a really long title, The Dispensation of Distance versus the Dispensation of Drawing Near. And hopefully we'll contrast those nicely for you this morning, and you can do what you would with it. But it says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 to Christians, it says, You're not come unto the mount. No takers, that's Mount Sinai. Okay, he's going to contrast two mountains this morning, Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. And both mountain regions are going to sort of depict a relationship or the lack thereof with God. Okay, he says this to you if you are in Christ today. How many of you are in Christ? How many of you have said, Jesus, come into my heart and be the Lord and Savior of my life? Okay, then you are born again of the Spirit of God. And this is what he says to you. He needs to remind you if you have a propensity to be legalistic, if you have a propensity to be drawn towards religion and ritualistic behavior. He says this, you are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire. Okay, get a picture. He's describing to you Exodus 18, 19, 20. When the Lord came down to the mountain and he gave the Ten Commandments to who? Moses. and the children of Israel, they all gathered around Mount Sinai. Some, you know, easily 2.5 million people. Imagine the scene. Double plus the whole city of Rochester gathering together. Can you imagine this? The Lord calls the nation that he's forming to the base of Mount Sinai. The picture is this. You can't touch the mountain where God is. Because back then, this is the dispensation of distance. God was revealing to the nation of Israel his holiness, his majesty. You can't come close to it. There has to be something that bridges you to all holy, all perfect God. And for these people then, Jesus had not yet come. The law was never a means to save anybody. Paul would say elsewhere it was a tutor, a schoolmaster, a teacher, to show men their need for a Savior in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Is this clear and simple so far? Okay, the law was never intended to save anybody. Doesn't that allow you to go like this? Anybody doing well at keeping the law? Should we handle just commandment number one? You say, well, there's 10. I might have a good shot. No, there's not 10. There's 613. And the problem is you break one, you break them all. Here's the first commandment. You tell me. You don't have to respond out loud or, you know, verbally or physically. You just answer in your heart. How are you doing with commandment number one? You should have no other gods before me, says the Lord. You're like, well, there's no other God before him necessarily. Yeah, but you're not understanding the language. It's not just like before me, like right here. It's not before me, not beside me, not behind me, not at all. I'm slayed. Paul said right away, he goes, I try to move through the commandments, I'm slayed. The law was never intended to save anybody. The law can't save any man. Grace can save every man. You understand? He goes like this, you guys, Calvary Chapel, you that are on the lawn outside this morning, you that are at home in your living room in your PJs, you that are here this morning in this sanctuary, you are not come, thank God, this is a praise report. You are not come to the mountain that can't be touched, that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness. It sounds like hell almost, doesn't it? Fire, but yet blackness and darkness and tempest. How many of you are using King James? It's a little tricky when you use King James. I like the poetry. I like the language. That's why I teach it. I think it's the closest to the original manuscripts and our language. But if you're not using it, maybe you have an easier word. I'm thinking tempest. What is this word? And it's the only time the word is used in the New Testament. It speaks of like a sudden storm. It speaks of, to make it simple for you and I this morning, it speaks of a whirlwind. It speaks of, the Septuagint renders it this way. It speaks of air being sucked up. Sucked upward, and this violent force, this is the scene, that you are not called to in Christ. You don't come onto some mount that you can't touch, where there's fire and darkness and whirlwinds and storms and the sound of a trumpet, verse 19. And you think, okay, trumpets aren't bad. No, you don't understand. You go back and you read the story in Exodus 19:19, and it says that trumpet sounded long, and it waxed louder and louder. The language is literally this. The trumpet increases as it's blown in both depth and intensity. Can you imagine this? There's fire. There's a storm. There's winds. There's darkness. This is where God had called the nation of Israel to meet up with them. And then in the process of all of this, this voice comes from the top of the mountain, and it says, Moses, come up. And Moses goes to the top of the mountain, and as this is happening and the trumpet is sounding, the trumpet fades and there's this voice of words, and the Lord speaks and he says, I am the Lord your God that brought you out of the house of bondage. I am the Lord your God that brought you out of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. Imagine the scene. And here come the commandments of the Lord. Maybe we need a little bit of this in the church in 2020. And as the voice of God was heard, he said in verse 19, they that heard his voice entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And listen, everything that was happening was not allowing them to endure. Everything that was happening, everything that they were seeing, everything that was taking place was not enabling. It was medicinal in that it was showing them this healthy dose was given to them, rather, that there is this great divide between you and Almighty. It was good for them to be aware of the holiness and the majesty of God. But it was not enabling, it was defeating. It was you understand it? It's overwhelming, it's distancing, it's dividing man from God. The voice of God is speaking, they're so overwhelmed by it that they could not endure as he's speaking. And it says that as so much of a beast in the middle of verse 20 would touch the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And listen, so terrible was the sight, verse 21, that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Isn't this kind of wild? Y'all know who Moses is, right? He's the nation's great deliverer. He's the one who spoke with the Lord at the burning bush. He's the one who used his rod, the rod of God. And him and Aaron did these majestic events and happenings by the grace of the Lord and the anointing of the Lord, the parting of the Red Sea, experiencing manna falling from the sky and feeding the nation of Israel, keeping their shoes from wearing. I mean, this is a man who experienced a lot of majesty of God. Isn't it amazing to you, though, that there's a very big difference between the things that God does and the God that does those things? Did you catch that? There's a very big difference between the things that God does in experiencing them and seeing them and the God that does those things. And even Moses is spooked. Even Moses is rattled. Even Moses is overwhelmed by all of this glory and splendor of the great I Am that's taking place. The nation is begging him, hey, please, you speak to us what God wants to speak to us. We can't handle his voice. We can't handle it. It's too much for us. There's too much trembling. There's too much fear. There's too much awareness of all that we are not and all that he is. This is what the author is trying to say here to these Hebrew Christians. Y'all want to go back to Judaism? Y'all want to, because remember, they're getting ready to call quits on their walk with Jesus. Y'all want to turn away from the dispensation of drawing near, the dispensation of grace, where Jesus paid it all, where Jesus did it all because of the persecution, because of the ousting from family and friends, and you want to go back to what's comfortable and back to what's known? You want to go back to the dietary restrictions? You want to go back to the ritualistic routines? You want to go back to the crossing your T's and the dotting of your I's? Is that what you want to go back to? Then let me paint you a picture of what you're asking for. That's what he does. He kind of turns his tone a little bit. He says, I've been encouraging you to look to Jesus. I've been encouraging you to run the race. I've been encouraging you that if you get off course, God's going to correct you and chastise you. I've been encouraging you to strengthen your hands, strengthen your arms and your feeble knees. I've been encouraging you of what to pursue and what not to pursue. Now I'm changing my tone. Now I'm saying it like this. You want to be like Esau, who gave up all of that birthright and the blessing that comes with the birthright? You want to turn your back on Jesus and go back to religion? This is what it looks like to go back to those things. You understand? And it's bleak and it's dark. And it's devastating because it's separating you from the living God. Everybody with me so far? Listen, if you want legalism, this is what legalism looks like. This is it right here. This is what the law does. This is the person who looks down their nose snootily at other people and constantly criticizes and sizes up other people with themselves. This is what it's like, man. It was never intended by God to be final. It's finality, if you would. It's perfection. If I could personify it and say the law, if it finds its happiness, it finds its happiness in you saying, I can't do it. You with me? So therefore, I need one who can do it for me. The fulfiller of the law, Jesus Christ. He's everything that I can't be. and he took upon him all of my wretchedness and sinfulness. So why would you ever go back to it? But he says in verse 22, you are come. Okay, here we go. Here's the climactic portion of our study. Here's the epicenter of our study. That's not where I am, so let's move on from it. Where am I, Pastor, as a Christian? Okay, perfect. He says, here you are. You are come. Here's the tenses. Love tenses. You got to love tenses, too, if you're going to study God's word, because watch what it's like. He goes like this. You are come, and it means this. You're already here. Not you shall come, not you will come, although there is that, too. When you get to glory and you're in the presence of the Lord, there's this fullness that will take place in the process of what we're going to read. But this is where you are right now, spiritually speaking. Seven things are about to be listed off to you. I didn't come up with them, so I can't take any credit, but I think the author here, inspired by the Spirit of God, did a dynamic job. You ready to have your mind just blown? You're going to get a lot to chew on right now. This is a Bible study in and of itself. You're not at Mount Sinai. You come to a different mount. Mount Zion. The city of David. Oh, come on. Who am I preaching to this morning? Y'all know what that means? You're at the mountain of grace, Golgotha, Calvary, the place where Christ was crucified so that you never have to die or be separated from God. The place where the mountain begs and bids the sinner to come near, not to get away. There's God calling now to tell everybody about it. You are come unto Mount Zion. Your King James says, and he says, and unto the city of the living God. That's the first of seven things he says. It's a city, he says, that you have come to, of the living God. It's the heavenly Jerusalem. How good. Listen, at Sinai, no city. At Sinai, no temple. At Sinai, darkness, fire, whirlwind. At Zion, the literal city of Zion, Jerusalem, there is temple, at least back then. There is temple unlike Sinai. There's so much beauty. Beautiful for situation is Jerusalem. And anybody who's been to Jerusalem, you ride into that city.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.